gentlemen, may I direct your attention to something quite extraordinary?
Chris, the Herons are back. And we got messy.
What's going on? What? Where is the information?
I guess we're getting ready for a sister kissing fiesta.
I felt like we were playing a 2-8. It was just a 2-8.
Let me tell you, Danny is about to get destroyed in the chat. So you
are we kissing sisters, Chris?
And maybe stepsisters, but not regular sisters. I've done a little bit of research on him. When it comes to FIFA, this guy's 68.
We're going to have the greatest player of all time on the team. If there's a time to believe, it's now.
It looks like a heron shat all over it. So you guys are literally getting excited for a rank 65 player on FIFA 23. We got some pretty good FIFA cards on our squad now.
You gotta understand, Kevintro. This is how we scout our players here on the show.
Just look at FIFA cards.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Chris, the Herons are back.
Welcome, everybody, to episode number 165 of the Battered Herons podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granada, and alongside me, as always, Mr. KBD. How are you doing, sir?
We're playing a Mexican team on Wednesday, bruh. Playing Liga MX. It's the best of the better teams. I mean, come on. It's going to be a fucking
it's
blast.
It's literally ranked the best team in North America. Literally.
Yes. Literally. Yes.
But you know what? Since Messi's arrived, we are 1-0 against Liga MX teams. So we got that going for us. Any housekeeping that you want to touch up on before we bring in our guest, Chris?
Well, I mean, Joel Kirsch checking in from Atlanta, Georgia, apparently home of IMCF's top podcast.
Oh, and, that's right. Scarves and Spikes joining the Inter Miami world. That's right. I heard that.
And yeah, I mean, other than that, I don't know. I mean, no housekeeping I could think of.
And Pablo, I have to double check. I don't know if it was Pablo that asked. Somebody asked me in the Discord about a specific T-shirt on the website that they couldn't find the Inter Miami version for. But I'm going to, in case that's what you're referring to, Pablo, I'm going to keep looking because it should be there. All right.
Batterfans.com, guys. That's where you got to get the merch.
Yeah, that's it. And shout out to Vice City Lucas and everybody else that has joined us already. And look, and lost $50, no sleeves.
It's probably because, the whole sleeveless thing. I never rock sleeves. He probably put a bet that I was going to wear a sleeve shirt. Too bad, dude. I live in sleeveless shirts my whole life.
You've become a prop bet.
Yeah, I bet.
You know what the next prop bet has to be? Does he finally have something on his wall? That's it.
Ooh. And you know what's funny is I got something in the mail. I didn't want to reveal it. I mean, should I reveal it? You want me to go grab it?
If you're not going to have our guest waiting too long, go for it. While Diego right here, 5-time CONCACAF champion, Rayados de Monterrey. Yes, I do know that they have had quite the success in CONCACAF champions, and we do have a guest ready to talk. But here, Chris is showing off what will eventually, hopefully, be on his wall.
That looks nice, right, guys? See, I told you, guys, brick by brick, guys. This is getting built brick by brick. I mean, look, I'm waiting for the last brick. It's still in the mail. It doesn't get here yet. So,
understood. Guys, so it's not brick by brick. Guys, they're all going to go up at the same time.
Yeah, they're all okay. Technically, the bricks are coming in. I just haven't built the bricks. Okay.
Gotcha.
So, all right. Eat it, Danny.
All right. So, we do have a guest with us. Now, this guest, I reached out to them last summer. Because I thought we were going to play them. I was in the semifinals when we ended up playing against Philly.
Yes.
So I reached out to him and I said, hey, was it Nashville or Philly? It was one of those two. And I reached out to them and I said, hey, if Monterrey wins, would you come on with us? And they did not win. So I put that Twitter page in my back pocket, brought it back out again. And Eddie was nice enough to join us this time. So without further ado, welcome Eddie to our program. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, you guys. Like you said, this is a year overdue, right? Like you,
yeah.
I'm not the type of person that likes to count their chickens before they hatch. So, but yeah, it's a year overdue here.
Nice. That's it. And, you're finally joining us. And I mean, Monterrey, everybody's talking about what an amazing team this is, how Inter Miami probably has no chance. And we're going to get into that. But before we do, I am curious. Leagues Cup last year, what happened? Because everybody was talking about it's going to be Monterrey and Inter Miami. And then that just never came to fruition.
The wheels kind of fell out at the end. I was at the LAFC Monterrey game, and I feel like that was like the last gasp that of you know I feel like that kind of took everything out of the team because I think if I'm not mistaken they played Tigres the round before, so I feel like those two games kind of took out everything. And even then against Nashville didn't score like over an hour into the game. So that's like, I feel like traveling all those and then injuries piling up because I think Canales was already injured. Berterame was injured. Rodrigo Aguirre was injured. So like the traveling and then the injuries piling up. I mean, last semester we debuted like 7 youth players. So like, that's how bad the injuries were. And it's just like, you know, that's how far we could go with the amount of stuff that was going on. So, like, that's pretty much it. Just the wheels fell out at the end.
All right. Well, I mean, you guys are – but now you guys are just kicking everybody's ass. Like, you guys are legitimately, like, a real big problem. Like, there are people that are in the chat terrified of you guys.
That's what happens when you don't get the, you know, the TAM and the domestic players, and then you're backed by like a really big like FEMSA. You know, you're backed by, if you ever go to Mexico or even Latin America, in other places in Latin America, you'll see an OXXO gas or OXXO store, right? That's one of the businesses that the team that owns Monterrey has. So like their tentacles are all over like Latin America. So they have a lot of money, top of the arc stadium too, all that stuff. It's kind of changed over the years because before that we were just like a mid-table club. We were just like, if we win the game against Tigres, we're happy with that. But then like they really got that inversion by some, you know, Monterrey is I think the third largest city in Mexico. So I feel like those clubs right there in Monterrey, if you want to include Tigres, they were sleeping giants just because they just needed that that financial push and then
the they financial just took boost, off.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
FEMSA came in like in the mid-2000s, and then that's when the wheel started. Like the first big star that Monterrey had in terms of it was Humberto Suazo. Like that was like the big, like that was like, here's a shit ton of money, and that's the guy they brought over from Chile who was at Colo Colo. He was part of that the team that lost the Sudamericana in like in the mid-2000s to Pachuca. So like that was like the big splashy cash, and since then it's been like a lot of big, you know, big spending, whether it's bringing in like guys like Tolan Pavon, Edwin Cardona. And if you want to go all the way to today's day, like Sergio Canales, Brandon Vasquez. So it's just been nonstop since like the early, you know, early, the late 2000s, early 2010s. That's when they've been really like spending big.
Well, and most people that watch the show are Messi and MLS fans. But most people are familiar with Brandon Vasquez, but Canales is probably your best player, no?
It's Canales. One of the stats guys that I follow that's in Spanish put out a statistic of like how involved certain players are in the team's goals, assists, whatever, any type of scoring. Canales is 60% of our goals come through him. Like it's whether it's assists, goals himself, key passes, whatever. Like huge, yeah, he's pretty much the engine. Yeah, he's our Messi if you want to say it like that. And we, you know, we brought. I never thought that like someone from Real Betis. Like if you look at his interviews, I never thought that he would come over. I thought like that was his end where he was gonna go. And next thing you know, they just bring him over here, and you know, it's been great since.
He's been balling, yeah. Well,
and one of the things I wanted to mention, Danny, I don't know if you caught wind of this on Twitter, but there's tons of people that are talking about Messi is still injured, and that there's quite possibly a possibility, I guess, that he's not going to be playing.
I kept hearing that. I feel like they're kidding. The way I prepared to like come, not just come on your show, but prepare to like, okay, how's Miami? Like I don't have MLS season pass. So like, I've been listening to like a lot of Inter Miami like over the last 2 weeks, just like painting. Like I saw the games against Nashville, a game and a half against Nashville. I saw the DC United game, and I saw half of the one against New York City FC. So like I've been, you know, you guys, I've been listening to you guys. You guys have kind of put like put the puzzle together for me to just to what to expect. And I kept hearing like people were like, I don't know if it's just like, not scared, but like
over dramatic.
Like yeah, that would be the word. Like Messi might not play. Messi might not play. I'm like, no, you guys are just, you know, I'm like, oh no, that's not gonna happen. But then like over the last few days, I keep hearing, and I'm like, nah, you guys are all messing with me here. And like, no, there's no way he's gonna miss that game. So you guys can let me know what's happening there.
Well, I haven't heard anything personally. I keep hearing that he didn't train with the team today. Now he still has that tomorrow and health. And even Wednesday, I don't care if he doesn't train, he can still play. It's messy. But with that being said, he missed the U.S. Open Cup. And again, the U.S. Open Cup to me is a joke, but whatever. He missed the U.S. Open Cup final last year when you would figure it's a final, he'll play. But so, and we didn't find out until an hour or two before the game. So they're going to keep us waiting until a couple hours before the game, I'm sure, to find out if he's playing or not. So don't be surprised if he doesn't play, I guess. But don't expect to find out anytime sooner than actual game time, basically.
Yeah, but I've been hearing Tata's press conferences, and like I mean, obviously I follow the Mexican national team, so I'm kind of familiar with like the way he like doesn't give anything to reporters.
Doesn't give anything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like he's trying. I feel like the organization or him, just the organization as a whole, are trying to put the little covers on, so that way nobody really knows what's going on. And so they're like, yeah, Messi is not going to play. He's training by himself. He's playing in the corner, whatever. And then they're just going to whoop Messi out on Wednesday, and then everything's going to be okay.
It's possible, hopefully.
hopefully.
Just a quick question. You brought up Tata and the fact that he coached Mexico. I was curious. Do you blame Tata for all that, or the fact that Mexicans –
No. It's
right just, now that the, this era of Mexican soccer is just poor.
No, it's poor, and it's just like if you go like if anybody follows like teams or in Latin America, there's always that like level of corruption. Like it's just the team like the like they've taken away promotion. Like it's just an onion of layers that you got to peel back in terms of like everything that's gone wrong. Like the amount of teams that. You know, whether it's not having promotion relegation, not competing in Libertadores again in Sudamericana, and not sending players to Europe. So it's like a lot of things have gone wrong. It's not just the coach. And I feel like his tenure was the start of all those dominoes falling, right? That was just the first of everything that's gone wrong. And I feel like the U.S. is going to dominate until like Mexico stops being like so money hungry. Here in the U.S., like if you play, the United States can't play in California, Texas, Phoenix, or Arizona, Chicago, play in Washington because they're going to be the road team in their own country.
Yeah, 100%.
But you know, that's a double-edged sword because now they're pretty much just the golden goose here. And you saw a little bit, they took a hit when they lost that last year and nobody showed up. But I feel like the federation, all this, everybody is like arrogant, like, well, now they're going to show back up. And they did. So like I really don't blame Tata. I feel like that was the first of many, like that was the first of the onion peeling back and hey, this is everything that's gone wrong. But it's more than just the coach that's the issue.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because you mentioned about the fans showing out. Like when we played Cruz Azul, like they showed out. And so I mean there's fan bases for teams in Liga MX and especially in places like us in South Florida around the coast. You know, so it's there.
Yeah, no, and Cruz Azul is one of the, like I would say they're like the third most popular team in Mexico. Like, they're based out of Mexico City, so like you know that's the largest city in the country, and then you know a lot of people here, and it's easy. I mean, and I believe it was like correct me if I'm wrong. It was a weekend, right? Like was it a weekend game or close to a weekend game that made it a lot easier for people to travel.
It's the summertime for me. I don't work in the summer, so
every
day was like a weekend for this guy.
That might have helped too. So
I don't remember.
If you get into Chivas territory, Club America, those guys they really really travel. Now when it comes to Monterrey, if you're anywhere near the south, because most of them are in Texas, and that's why I feel like there's going to be a good amount because I read on Twitter a lot of people from Texas are making that drive to South Florida
to Miami.
You know. Yeah, you're going to see a good amount. So, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like at least they make a 20%, you know, if it's 80%, 20% month to date, so something like that. Like that would be what I would expect.
And Diego Bonito just asked, how's the new Argentina going for you guys? He's referring to Chelo Weigand. And then Cynical Tube just answered for us, Chelo looked great day and night from Yedlin. He did look pretty good. We have first high game. Hopes for him. In case anybody that isn't into Miami fan is watching this, he looked pretty good. We're happy. I think that
I saw the first 60 minutes of that game, and he looked like you know, not gonna like he's not gonna flash you or anything, but you know, I think everything that's asked of him is one of those Argentinian players that are like, hey, this is what you got to do, and he just goes out and do it. That's what I really don't know. Yeah, if you guys want to add anything to that, then I gotta miss.
No, and the one-on-one defense, I got to watch the game over. His one-on-one defense was great. Look, Yedlin. For as much as I defended him, his defense was average. This kid, at least to me, I thought he looked pretty good defensively. He looked faster than I expected. So I can say I'm happy with what I saw from the first game. Let's see how it goes now with the big game. I love what he said in his press conference. He said, we're treating this Champions Cup game like if it's a final, because every Champions Cup game is going to be like a final to us, and that's how we're going to treat it. So they know that this is an important game coming up on Wednesday, and they know that it's a big challenge going up against Monterrey. So my question to you now, how has Monterrey looked so far this season?
Really, really good. I mean, it's them.
Yeah, because they haven't lost since like September, right? Up until this
point. Well, they lost this past week to Chivas.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they lost in the friendly to San Luis, but that's a friendly, so I really don't count it. And then we were just playing youth players. Even the coach was like, hey, I'm just trying to see what some of the young players have. But yeah, this past game, I feel like that was a trap game, and plus they Monterrey hasn't beaten, like, I don't know how you guys are with like MLS and Inter Miami. If there's like an MLS team where it's like, regardless of how bad or good they are, you know, it's just gonna be a long day. With Chivas, they Monterrey hasn't beaten Chivas at home since I believe it's 2017. So like when we play them at home, and I know it's gonna be a long game. If we win, it's gonna be one of those hard, you know. It's going to be an ugly 1-0 win, 2-1 win. But yeah, no, I was expecting either losing this game or the game against Cruz Azul, because, you know, all focus is on Inter Miami, right? Like that's the whole, everybody's focus on that. So these two games against Chivas and Cruz Azul in the league, I see them as trap games. If we win, obviously I want to win them because you want to stay on par with Club America. But those are the two games where it's like, don't risk anything. If we can win those games, those are good. But focus on these two matches. So, but yeah, this was the first one. And it was like a weird game. We got two red cards, you know, two of our guys got kicked out. It was just an ugly win or an ugly loss, I should say. And, you know, Chivas' first goal was an own goal. So it was just one of those fluky, let's just close it out, forget about it type of games.
Just move on.
Well, and one of the things you mentioned, red cards. I literally was looking at schedules and games in Liga MX, and I don't think I've seen any game per week that has like more red cards than I've ever seen in my whole life. Like the Liga MX teams play like they're terrorists. Everybody's out clotheslining people. Like, what's going on? Is it WWE? Out there?
I mean, it depends. I mean, one of them like that stood out to me was like a Cruz Azul. One of the Colombian players got two red. Like, he got a red card, got suspended, came back, got a red card, and got suspended again. I forget his name, but yeah, no, it's just we're not like I'm speaking for Monterrey and just this game against Chivas. It's just you know, the one of them was Gerardo Arteaga, and like that guy is just one of those times, and if you can refer to any other sport where it's just those players that just run on emotions, right? They're just passionate, and sometimes they can get away from them. And even our coach said post game, I got to speak with him to like, obviously the emotions, you know, the sangre, if you want to say it in Spanish, you know, it's good, but you know, you can't do that. You know, every referee is different, and some referees will let it slide. Some of them will be like, hey, don't do that. So it's just, hey, you got to pick and choose when you can let out those emotions. So that's what kind of happened there. And the other one was a tackle that, it was a little bit sketchy, but you know, got a straight red there. So, but yeah, no, it can be a lot physical. The league is really, really physical. When it comes to like defending emotions and all that. So like, you know, if anybody that follows a Latin American team, it's pretty much the same like that.
Real quick, Brandon Vasquez That came out of nowhere, in my opinion. I wasn't expecting it. Rumor started. All of a sudden, he's going to Monterrey. What have you thought about Brandon Vasquez since he's gotten there?
Oh, man. He's been great. Like, obviously, he was replacing our all-time leading goal scorer in Rogelio Funes Mori. And we have not missed him. You know, it's safe. You know, when someone like that leaves your club, you think, okay, there's going to be some type of transition period. But this guy has just hits the ground running. His charisma, the Superman pose that he does, is kind of taking over. Like, you see little kids with their own like Superman capes go to games and all that. So that's like really cool. And you know, he scored goals. Like, and he gives us something else that we haven't had in a while. And it's just header goals. Like, if somebody wants to like, if I want to like give him an example, it's go to that San Luis game a couple weeks ago. He scores a header from like almost outside the box. Like, he just heads it like at a correct angle and it goes in. Like, that guy has brought something. Like, maybe since like Gerard Borghetti, we haven't had like somebody that can head the ball, like where it's like if you just lob it up right and he's in the right area and he wins his duel, it's going in. Like, that's something that I've really loved about him. And the guy's just been, even against his own team, like he put two goals against the FC Cincinnati and did away with them. So like, this guy's just been on fire right now, and he's one of like the best of the Almeki signings of this, you know, Clausura season. Him and like Salomon Rondon have been like the best signings of this season.
Now, one of the things that I noticed in looking at the last couple games for you guys is that you guys are very multifaceted when it comes to your formations. I've noticed 4-1-4-1, 4-3-3, 4-4-2. I mean, I don't even know what formation you guys typically play. What's the formation?
Yeah, it's usually 4-2-3-1. Obviously, Dan Ortiz has kind of like, as the season has gone along, he'll switch if you need it. He's one of the things that everybody was a little bit critical is like, hey, you know, I guess everybody wanted Brandon Vasquez and Bertarame just to see how those two work together. But I feel like it's just better to have one striker. I like the 4-2-3-1 when they roll that out, when it's and I can give you the lineup right now unless something happens crazy. But the back line is going to be right back. It's going to be Eric Aguirre. It's going to be full Mexican back lines. Eric Aguirre at the right back. The two center backs are going to be Hector Moreno and Toro Guzman. And then left back is Gerardo Arteaga. The two defensive midfielders are going to be Luis Romo and Corcho Rodriguez. And then the two wides, whether you want to call it, you know, wide midfielders or wingers, it's going to be on the left side. It's going to be his Gallardo on the right side. It's more than likely going to be Maxi Mesa. And then the number 10 position is going to be Sergio Canales. And then up top is going to be Brandon Vasquez. That's more than likely the lineup that I think is going to go. And that's what everybody expects. Because against Chivas, it was a little bit, you know, rotated squad. Some guys were coming back from injury. And obviously the FIFA break, so you wanted to give them the guys like some reps in. To prepare them, but I would be shocked if that's not the lineup that they go with.
Well, Cynical Tube is super jealous.
Yeah, but I mean, we've suffered through a lot of injuries so far to start the year. So, I mean, it's not necessarily fully Tata's fault that he hasn't been able to keep a consistent lineup up there. So,
well, he's mentioning that the Cynical Tube is mentioning the B team might start. So, I mean, look at this. Joker is mentioning, must be nice knowing who's in the back line. Tata throws darts at a board. I mean, look at last game. We had Busquets playing center back.
Yeah, I mean, oh, and then in goal, I forgot to mention, in goal is Esteban Andrada. And then, like, the first leg against FC Cincinnati, it was just a makeshift back line. And I the game against your guys' game against NYCFC, that kind of, like, triggered a memory. Like, Esteban Andrada just, like, hey, if you know, Inter Miami gets their chances, I'm hoping, you know, he's done this in the past where it's like the opposition should have like a 3-0 lead on us, and that guy has just stopped everything. And that's something I wanted to touch on a little bit, because that's one of the things I kind of took away from that game, is just like how frustrating. Even I saw Luis Suarez get a little bit frustrated with not converting his chances, and I don't expect to, you know, I would like for that to happen in terms of like he gets three chances and he misses them all, but I'm not betting on it. But I just wanted to get you guys just overall your attack. Like, obviously Messi is Messi, and I'm expecting him to play, but do you guys have like a plan? Is that the plan B in that game against NYCFC, or what do you think is going to be plan B if he doesn't play?
Well, I mean, Redondo's injured, right? So like,
he's up for 8 weeks.
Yeah, he's gone. You have, we'll probably get, you know, Christoph back. Aviles will probably play some more time. So at least Busquets, he's not going to be playing center back. David Ruiz is solid. I think the way that it is right now, it's just all going to be funneled through Luis Suarez and hoping that somebody in the midfield can connect with him.
Am I
wrong, Danny? What do you think?
If Messi doesn't play, you can expect a very similar lineup to what we saw on Saturday. But for example, instead of Bright, you'll get David Ruiz out on the right side. You'll get Busquets as the CDM, the center defensive midfielder. And then you'll have Aviles and Freire or Aviles and Christoph as center backs. But outside of that, this is going to be very similar to what we saw, right? You're not going to have Bright, and you're not going to have Sailor probably, unless, you know, our center backs are still injured and Busquets will be in the midfield. Oh, look, Christoph is out. Tata confirmed it. So we have to hope that either Freire is back or Aviles is starting. You're not going to – I highly doubt you see Busquets as center back again.
Eddie, basically that means that we're going to be lining up with fucking janitors against your team. So that's basically what's going
to
happen.
I've kind of liked this, like, heel that Inter Miami's playing, because everybody, like, when you guys got the guy from Boca Juniors, everybody was like, how is Inter Miami, like, the other teams as fans, is like, when I saw like the tweet to confirm it, everybody was like, how is Inter Miami doing this? Why are they getting away with this? How have you guys, like, you know, not to jump off topic, but I really like how are you guys, like, embraced like this, and now that you're like one of the MLS teams, like you guys, the Columbus Crew and the New England Revolution, like you guys are like the MLS's last hope to, like, win this competition that's been dominated by Liga MX over the last, you know, 20 years. You know, how are you guys embraced this heel turn, and are people going to embrace you guys, or it's just going to be like, hey, screw you guys. You guys are on an island by yourself.
Go ahead, Danny.
Us on the show, we love it. We love the whole Miami versus everybody. We love it, and we knew it was going to come eventually. Last year, it was like a love fest. Everybody loved us, right? Everybody loves Messi. But all of a sudden, the offseason came, Luis Suarez came, and all of a sudden, everybody, and we eventually did, but everybody's like, oh, you need to get rid of a bunch of players in order to comply to get a bunch of new players. But we just started signing players before we let players go. So it looked like things were kind of weird. Like, how the hell are they doing this? But like right before the compliance period, we started selling away players, Yadlin, we traded away Kamon Miller. So eventually things made sense. If you look at it and you break it down, they made sense. But it did look kind of fishy, like around January. You're like, how the hell are they doing this? But we do embrace it. We like it. Miami's used to it. We had the big three with LeBron, D-Wade, and Bosch. We had UM back in the 80s and early 90s when everybody hated it, right? Was it Catholics versus Convicts? Like, in Miami, we kind of like that. We like the us versus the world. So down here, we love it.
I mean, there's still Dolphin fans that weren't even born after 72 that are still holding on to an undefeated record, which matters nothing because all the people that were playing football that day were janitors. So
I'm not sure what that has to do with anything, but sure.
Because that's like a Miami versus everything. Whenever somebody goes like undefeated during an NFL season, it's like, oh, well, Miami might be getting their record broken, you know? And you see a bunch of 80-year-olds there drinking vodka.
And then, like, okay, but, like, in terms of, like, filling out the back line, like, how – I think that's something I really want to touch on. You guys can elaborate, because if any Monterrey supporter is, like, listening to this, I'm pretty sure they're like, hey, what's going on with this back line that's done with – I mean, obviously, I really like the kid. Like, that guy has, like, a lot of high potential, but I feel like maybe I don't know.
Do you guys high press?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like –
Okay, so Aviles can't play.
Yeah, and Freire can't play.
That's the issue with Aviles. Aviles, I thought defensively, he's very good. He has good pace. When he has the ball at his feet and he's not being pressured, he makes a lot of good vertical passes. He moves the ball into the final third sometimes very accurately. But when he's forced and he's pressured into making a quick decision, he is consistently turning the ball over. That part of his game is not polished yet. So when they press him, he constantly makes errors. So when that is our weakness, when we get pressured, because he's not good under pressure. Freire, we haven't seen enough time to say he is. Christoph is too slow.
Well, I've seen some of him. He played in Mexico with Puma. So I kind of got
Freire,
one of my lasting memories of him was he was on the Pumas team that that everybody clowns on for losing to Seattle Sounders. You know, that Seattle Sounders broke that streak of Mexican teams dominating. So, like, that's one of the long, like, lasting memories I have of him.
Do you know what? I want to touch on that 1 second before we keep going with the show. I think it's so silly that everybody keeps talking about Liga MX's dominance on the CONCACAF Champions Cup. There was a point where MLS didn't have any DPs. You, like, literally, like, teachers used to get paid as much as the MLS players, and they're here bragging that they're dominating the .com. Of course, you have PE coaches playing striker for the Miami Fusion. Like, come on. Like, it's not that serious. Just recently, we started getting real teams. Liga MX has never seen
real
a
team players.
Like Miami's going to pull up with on Wednesday. So if Liga MX is still dominating by the year 2030, then I'll be like, all right, Liga MX, good job.
Okay.
But right now, I'm not impressed. I am not impressed with Liga MX right now. I'm not. So I just wanted to put that out there because I'm sorry. The MLS teams that they were putting out there a couple, like 10 years ago, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. They couldn't compete with anybody.
I mean, look at the Philadelphia Union, what happened there.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. I don't know what the hell happened there, honestly. But you know what? The Philadelphia Union is a prime example. Me and Chris have this debate all the time about building a team through the American Academy or buying your players like Inter Miami and LAFC do. Inter Miami and LAFC buy good players internationally. Philadelphia Union build like organically through their academy. And they've done a good job competing in MLS like that. But you're not going to compete internationally like that. As you can see by the result when they got their ass kicked.
What's funny is that Pachuca is similar to that. I mean, but they'll grab like Redondo, like everybody thought he was done. And even I was like, nah, Pachuca's gonna get like maybe 1, maybe 2 years. Like they'll like they have this aura around them. Like they'll bring in a veteran that you think, oh, he's over. Like what they do is they always go with youth. They'll grab a bunch of veterans that you've never heard of. Like Idrissi is one of them. Like I've never heard of this Moroccan. And then they'll magically like where did these guys come from? So like, you know, it's just like I think that like they have this system and it just works for them. But like going back
and the Union also,
what I kind of noticed because after that game, everybody like some people were kind of like shifting towards where you guys are at, where it's like, hey, we need to spend more money. Like well, let's do it. You know, like hey, let's open up another DP. I don't know like into the details of that, but I know a lot of people are like, hey, this is why we need to do this and that. And so like I saw some people going like towards where your guys is going, like, hey, we need to spend. Because I feel like, you know, I live in LA, like LAFC is the big spenders. And it's like I feel like MLS should just let teams spend. And I get it that they don't want like the big markets. It's gonna turn into like what it is in the NBA. You know, where it's like everybody wants to go into the big, especially like if you're a Latin American player, you're gonna want to go where it's like a lot of
Miami Hispanics. And LA.
Like, you wanna feel Miami, LA.
Yeah, you're not gonna go to Ohio.
No, absolutely not.
But yeah, no, and I feel like, do you guys feel like MLS eventually is gonna like let the reins go, like so that you guys can keep doing what your guys is doing, and like you know, or what do you think is gonna happen going forward? Because you know, if you know, knock on wood, if it's for Liga MX teams, I think people are gonna be like, hey, we need to be able to spend. I'm not sure where you guys lie on that whole salary cap stuff.
Well, Danny is shaking his head, and I don't know if he's going to disagree with what I'm going to say, but I think the teams on the coast, for sure, I think are going to get to a point where they're going to start shelling out some cash. San Diego's going to have a new team, Danny. They're probably going to start shelling out cash. You know, at some point, they're going
to
open up a
not shelling out cash. It's being allowed to shell out the cash, and I think that's what he's asking. Is MLS ever going to allow them to do it?
I think so. I mean, the MLS is trying to be a competitive league, Danny, and not just outside of the country, here in the United States. And the only way to do that is you got to open it up.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to open it up completely.
No, sorry to cut you off, Danny, because like that's the difference. And then going back to the game itself, it's like Monterrey has four defenders that would all probably be starting maybe Jordi Alba is the only exception. But, like, the other three, our two center backs would be starters on Inter-Miami. Like, yeah, so Moreno's a little bit older, but his game is aged like fine wine. And then the other guys, and then, like, between Eric Aguirre, we can, like, rotate between him and Stefan Medina, and those guys have been called up for the national team.
Like, yeah, but, like, when you're talking about our center backs, I'm pretty sure your strikers would probably start as our center backs because our center backs are trash.
Well, I mean, like, any, like, like, I'll be honest, the two teams that I kind of like stood out, like, okay, I feel like they had a shot to like win this because they actually took it seriously and tried to spend money, was Toronto FC when they lost to Chivas in 2018. And then last year when LAFC lost to Leon, because I feel like they spent money and they took it seriously. And I feel like that's what you guys are doing. You guys have spent the money, you know, whether people want to get mad about it or not, but like you guys are taking this tournament seriously. I think Columbus too might be taking, like, I think they have like some like Columbus, more depth than I would expect an MLS team to have. I think New England
Columbus is good.
Happy to be here. And I feel like, okay, you and Columbus have taken this tournament seriously, where it's like, hey, we're trying to build depth where it's like we can compete in two tournaments. And I feel like in the past MLS teams would be like, hey, if we make it deep, that's good enough for us.
The thing is, I don't think, and you know, and I know we want to get back onto the game, but I think that they will increase the salary a bit. I think they might add a fourth DP. They said they're gonna get rid of the stupid rule that they had with the U22 initiative players, where like you had to have like a one of your DPs needed to be a young DP in order to get three. It's some stupid rule. You basically now have three senior DPs and three U22 DPs. Like that's essentially what it's become. So now you technically have six DPs if you want to look at it that way. Three veterans, three U22, and I think that they might add a fourth. Has anything been said that says that that's going to happen? No, but I think that that's where it's going. So essentially, you have seven decent or good international players, and then an increase of the salary. I think that's the most that you're going to get, because I really think that they want to keep the league competitive, because this league isn't very popular in the United States yet. Believe it or not, like they're still what, the fourth most popular sport.
Well, and I think, and if anybody's interested in knowing all about this TAM, GAM, and how the MLS works, we do have videos on our YouTube channel that explains all of it as best as we can be able to explain it, because that all that is just a disaster all in itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So let's get back to Wednesday. So as far as Monterrey, I know you said that you're basically kicking everybody's ass, but
yeah,
it has to be some weaknesses somewhere. At least I hope so.
Where's the kryptonite?
So, yeah.
What's the weakness? And then you could touch upon the strength again if you'd like. But
yeah, I think the weaknesses would be they can play a little bit fire with giving up a lot of scoring chances. But, you know, right now, Andrada has been able to bail us out. You know, that I would say just they play a little bit with fire in terms of giving up too many scoring chances. That's why I'm hoping Luis Suarez has another game like he did on Saturday, where he's missing his chances. But, yeah, that's one area I would say. The manager, too, like this is Dan Ortiz has been he used to coach Club America, and he got – you know, he left because he wasn't able to win them the trophy that, you know, they won in the league title, which, you know, the semester that he left, they won the league title. So there's like some type of pressure on him. Okay, you gotta, and then, you know, we got bounced out in the Liguilla, you know, our playoff, whatever, in the quarterfinals against Atlético San Luis, who was like far inferior, right? So there's the pressure on the coach. Hey, this is your now your real test, right? Like we didn't have Sergio Canales, so now you have pretty much a healthy squad. Go out and do it. I know it's not in the field, but just, you know, obviously, you know, anybody watches any other sports, if you have a coach that just doesn't get it done when the things matter, it affects, right? Because, you know, they're making decisions that just confuse you. So I feel like just the coaching decisions can, you know, whether he, you know, he passes this pressure situation, or again, he folds, is another weakness, or at least something that, hey, that's something to keep an eye on, because if he's making weird things like weird substitutions or stuff like that, that obviously affects the game. So I feel like the coaching, you guys have the more experienced guy. He's been there, coached at big clubs, whatever, has the experience. So like, you know, obviously our guy, he's just getting his feet wet. So I feel like that's where something that can definitely get that advantage there. But in terms of, again, on the pitch, I feel like maybe our depth at midfield isn't like really good. So like if Arteaga gets a yellow card, because he's on a yellow card already. So if he gets a yellow card in this game, he's gone for the second leg, and same with Cocho. Those two guys are on yellow cards. Ooh. So they're on yellow card watch. And if those two get a yellow card here, like I am hitting the panic button, because our depth is not very good without them. You know, Gallardo can play left back, but he can't defend. Like, he's a horrible defender. And so, like, I would not – if that's the thing, you know, you're handing Inter Miami something good. So, like, those things, I would keep an eye on it. You know, if either one of those two guys get a yellow card, you're going to see a lot of Monterrey fans start hitting that panic button. So I believe those, if you know, Inter Miami can bait one of those two guys into a yellow card, or they just forget that they're on a yellow card, that really can turn the matchup around and going into the second leg.
You know what? You talking about the temperament of the team being a weakness is funny, because this just brought me back to when we were previewing the Orlando game with Alex from Lions Den. And he told us Orlando's pretty solid. Their weakness is that they get out of their head too quickly. And that did happen. And we ended up putting up 5 on them. 5-0, we beat them because Messi and Luis Suarez got spicy. They got out of whack, and then we just started putting it on them. So you just said that, and it reminded me of him saying that was the weakness for Orlando. And
the only thing I can counter with that is that we got two veteran guys. Like, Héctor Moreno has been there, done that. He's played in Europe, played with Spaniol, played against these guys too in their prime in La Liga. And you had Sergio Canales play against these guys in La Liga too. I feel like, I hope, at least that's my hope, is that would be the difference. Like, I'm assuming Orlando, I mean, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Orlando already had Muriel.
They did. But, he came in the second half. And I'm not comparing them. Relax. I'm talking to Mario here.
You're not comparing. You're like, in terms of like, hey, they can lose their cool.
The weakness, right?
No, I agree there, because if after, and you saw it in that first leg against FC Cincinnati too, when he got Arteaga got chippy with Miazga, right? And I don't think he got a yellow card there. So, like, you know, it all depends on the referee and what he's going to let go and what he's going to allow. So if you get a referee that is like, hey, no, I'm not allowing anything, then that's where, like, that's
or a referee that likes Messi.
Well, the last I checked, it's going to be a Guatemalan referee that actually refs our Leafs Cup game against Nashville. And that guy was awful, because he missed he went to VAR on a penalty. Everybody, even the broadcast, was like, this is a penalty. He went no penalty. And then he called back a good goal on Nashville. So I'm expecting a guy that's, I don't know if he's improved over the last year, but I'm expecting a circus show with this referee.
Well, and I want to get to this question here, because everybody knows Canales and everybody knows Vasquez, but give us a player that we should be familiar with, or at least get to know before this game starts. And now that we're talking about all kinds of cards, give me a player that you think on Monterrey that is probably going to walk away with a red card or two yellows.
In terms of like, okay, I would say Toro Guzman, because obviously if you're going to face Inter Miami, you're going to have to slow down their attack. And Héctor Moreno has faced these guys, so I'm pretty sure I would assume he's, you know, passing down his knowledge. Hey, this is what we did when I was at Espanol and Real Sociedad. This is what we did our best to keep them quiet. So I believe he's going to be a key factor in this game, just because, you know, if you were to ask me, hey, Eddie, which one of these players has a chance to go to Europe this summer? It would be him. He just turned 22. And I feel like with your guys' situation with Avilés, I feel like that's something, like, we brought him when he was 21 on 21, and then we paired him with Héctor Moreno, savvy veteran, and he's kind of just flourished. And I feel like this is going to be the moment. Hey, you're going to have Luis Suarez. You're going to potentially have Lionel Messi. You're going to have all these other attackers. You know, you're going to have to step up and not show that you just turned 22. You're not going to be able to, you know, you can't show your age. So I feel like that's one guy that really has the potential to be like, hey, who's this guy, right? Like you said, who's somebody that maybe people don't know that's going to jump out, and, you know, that would be that guy. And in terms of the yellow red card stuff, it's going to be Arteaga. Like, the guy is just like, I love him for his emotion. I love it because Monterrey used to have players that just were like, whatever, like, okay, if we lose, okay, if whatever's going on and you guys are, you know, pushing us around, we don't care. So it's good to have that. But again, like, you know, it's a double-edged sword. You know, you can get
Arteaga on the left side, right? Left back.
Yeah.
Left back. So he's going to be the one going up with Messi. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
In the pocket, baby.
And then I believe Jordi Alba's on that left flank, right, too. Like, he'll go up into the attack too, right?
Well, not from that side. That's
not. Or who?
No, that would be Chelo.
Oh, okay.
Weigand.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. My bad. That's the guy that, that's the guy that I would be on yellow card
on watch. Red card watch.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, he got a yellow card last game or 2 games ago or something. Got a yellow card.
Yeah, he got a yellow card against Cincinnati, and that's why I'm like everybody thought he
against
got a
Atlas.
The guy is just, you know, I'm hoping he doesn't lose himself, but that's the guy I'm worried about.
All right, so Eddie, let's say hypothetically you're a betting man, and you for some reason decided that you were gonna put money on Miami. And then you went up to Tata and you're like, I got money on this game. I'm going to whisper in your ear, this is how you beat Monterrey. And you tell him how you beat him. What are you telling Tata in his ear to win the money?
I would say.
And it's got to be good. Yeah, got to be good.
You got money on it. You got the house on it.
Yeah, you got to put the house on it. Right.
Go,
the car.
Test Eric Aguirre. Test Eric Aguirre, our right back. Test him, because one of the he's improved this year. But obviously now this is the big stage, right? This is the big time. You've improved, but defensively there was a lot of questions regarding him. He's improved, but now you're gonna have these different type of attackers, right? And he's like, when I was watching that game against LAFC last year, he really struggled against Buanga. You know, he just looked, it was just Matt, it was just like a man against the boy right there. So I would say, if you were to ask me and I had money right out, test him to see if he's actually good defensively. Like, cause maybe he thinks he's good defensively. Hey, I improve. But if Suarez or somebody else, hey, they're getting by him and they're getting by him. Maybe he loses confidence. And that's one of the places where you can start attacking Monterrey's defending. I would test our right back to see if he's actually good defensively. Because like I said, he's improved, but you know, this is a different type of environment.
Robert Taylor's gonna cook.
Oh yeah. Gonna be a problem.
And then Diego Bonito said up the middle with short passes. Hey, look.
Yeah, another one.
I'd feel a lot better if Yondo was playing, because
you know what? I want to get you guys on that. How much are you guys going to make? Because like when I watched the games I watched of Inter Miami, it was him and Diego Gomez that like outside of like your Alba Suarez, like outside of those guys, those two like really stood out to me. Like, okay, these guys are going to be a trouble. That's why I was like, oh damn, I wasn't expecting him to go down with an injury and be out 8 for 8 weeks. But what you guys can tell me about Gomez, and I think. What was the other kid, Cremanchi or whatever that's coming back?
Cremaki.
Like, if you guys did, yeah.
Okay, well, Cremaki.
Gotta watch out for this guy.
From what I've heard, Cremaki should be back available on Wednesday. Is that true? I have no idea. I haven't heard any confirmation. But that's what everybody's been saying, that he would finally be back for April 3rd's game against Monterrey. So I'm hoping he can come off the bench. Gomez has a motor, box-to-box midfielder, wins the balls, wins duels, and he creates for other people. He can't finish very well, but he will create opportunities. He'll push the ball up. He'll make good vertical passes and passes into the final third. Now, Redondo is a baby Busquets. That's why it hurts so much, because Busquets finally had some freedom to create, because he had Gomez and Redondo kind of at his flanks covering him defensively and all that. Without Redondo, I think we do suffer a little bit. I do like David Ruiz, which should cover for him. And there's a good chance that if Messi plays, it's going to be Gressel in the midfield. I'm not a big fan of Gressel in the midfield, but no, I mean, he hasn't necessarily done horribly either. He's been okay. He has contributed to like 5 goals already this season. So we'll see. But yes, I think Redondo's a big loss for us. But Cremaki hopefully will be available.
And they're asking if Pizarro is a legend of Monterrey history.
He's a legend that gave a nutmeg for one of the Tigres players, but no, like we spend a lot of money for him and it wasn't worth it. And then we shipped him off.
It seems like that's happening for him everywhere he goes.
Yeah, we feel the same.
A ton of money on him, and then they just never get enough. The same.
Yeah. All right. I think it's prediction time. All right. So,
yes, it is.
Would you like to start with Eddie, Chris, or would you like us to get going first?
Nah, Eddie. We got to hear it from Eddie first. We got to hear it from the guest first. So, Eddie, if you had to make a prediction real bold right now, what do you think the final score is going to be against Inter Miami?
Aggregate, right? Aggregate score? Or just first leg?
No, just one.
Just for this
first
game.
Don't get ahead of ourselves. We don't want to get too
I'm going to go 2-2 draw. I'm going to go with the draw. I think Monterrey, I think draw for us. And I think, I'm not sure if it was your guys' podcast, but like everybody on Inter Miami, everybody that I hear is like, hey, we need to get a two or three, you know, a multiple goal advantage going back to Mexico. So I believe even, you know, if we were to lose 3-2 and we get two away goals, that's fine by me. But I believe it's going to be a 2-2 draw.
I mean, we got Lawrence saying 0-0 draw all the way to Jonathan Lacey saying 10-0 Miami. I mean, we're all over the place here, guys.
You know what's difficult about predicting this game is that we don't know if Messi's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Eddie, we haven't lost when Messi starts the game. Like, it's legit. So it's hard to predict a loss.
Well, I mean, I'll be the cockiest. You haven't faced the Monterrey team, like the best Mexican team, or the only Mexican team you guys have faced is Cruz Azul, and they fired their coach like 3 weeks later after that, like after they lost. Obviously, you know, I believe Suarez makes a whole lot of difference, but you know, it was Messi magic at the end that got them to win.
Well, I agree, but I also don't think Monterrey has played against Messi and Luis Suarez yet. And when this team gets up for big games, they get up for big games. Like, it's a completely different team. You can see the intensity. Unfortunately, as a fan, it sucks. But you can see the change in intensity when it's a big game and when they're playing against Washington or DC United or whatnot.
Yeah.
So, with that said, I think if Messi plays, I think we could pull off a win, and I'll say we'll win 2-1. If he doesn't play, I'm praying for a draw. I'm praying for a draw. But if Messi doesn't play, I am very, very worried. I wore my Believe shirt because I'm trying to convince myself to believe. But if Messi doesn't play, I'm having a hard time believing. So if Messi doesn't play, I'll say 1-1 draw. So if Messi does play, he'll give us that goal difference and we'll win. If not, 1-1 draw, which would be horrible because then you'd get that away goal and all you need is one over there. Yeah.
I would agree. And I think I'm going to say without Messi, it's going to be 2-2. And with Messi, the difference would be 3-2. That's what I think is going to be the ending result.
Eddie, so same score, even Messi plays or not?
Yeah, I'm still going. Maybe 3-2. Like, I'll go with one of you guys, but it's the same. Like, to me, if obviously I want the win. I'm very conservative when it comes to like making picks. I don't go to Vegas that often, so like that's why I'm the worst gambler. But it'd be 2-2 if even if Messi plays.
Yeah. Well, I hope you are wrong, and I know before we head out of here, Chris is gonna ask his questions, but I will not be going on Wednesday. Not because it's a Wednesday game, but because I'm still in protest of the way they're doing us for the tickets. Chris, are you going to be going on Wednesday?
I won't be going on Wednesday. I'm going to be watching it from the comfort of my own home in my Inter Miami blanket. And it's going to be a good time, guys. But now is where the real questions come in, right, Danny?
Yes, sure.
Yeah, this is now is when the real tough questions come. And Eddie, you got to prepare yourself, preparate, because I'm going to throw a sandwich, boom, right here. And you have to make a decision. How are you cutting your sandwiches, diagonally or vertically? This is going to be criticized.
Diagonally. Oh. I've always done it diagonally. Well, I mean, it depends too, because like I'm
weird. No, don't do it. You already said diagonal.
No, because like tortas are not, like, again, this is my Mexican side scene. Tortas are cut diagonally. You know, that a sandwich, I'll have it vertical, but tortas are different. Like, for those who aren't Mexican, or I haven't had like a torta, you know, Mexican food torta, it's just cut different. But if you're asking me, hey, any sandwich?
Well, Danny is a weird diagonal cutter, too. I'm the one that cuts it vertically. So, and everybody thinks I'm weird for cutting a sandwich vertically. I just feel like you get more sandwich. And then that moves us over to our next question, where they're bringing up the shopping cart. I shop and I pull my shopping cart, as you can see here on this image. But a lot of weirdos here in the chat, they like to push their shopping cart. So are you a cart puller or a cart pusher?
Fun fact, I used to like round up the carts at Target. Like that was like my first job, like straight out of like,
oh, okay. So you're a puller.
Cart duty, baby. Cart duty.
Pusher. I hated pulling them. I'm a cart pusher. Like when I had to round up like 6-7 carts at pushing, I wasn't pulling. That habit of mine stuck, so just pushing the cart.
But that's different. I used to work at a grocery store too, and when I was on cart duty, I have to push the cart. I'm saying when you're
shopping, just have it now.
And well, Mario, if you're planning on buying one of those at Chase Stadium, get ready to pay like $20 for each of those halves or each of those triangles, because those do they sell?
Let me ask you guys this. I'm gonna like, I don't know how many Monterrey supporters are listening to this, but quick question for you guys. Now I'm turning the tables on you guys. Give me a couple restaurants that anybody that's listening that's driving from Texas or flying in from Texas or any part of the country going to Miami. Obviously, like you guys said, it's an hour drive. But any restaurant, you know, that or any little shop, whatever you want to call it, that anybody that's going, I always ask this when I have a guest come on my podcast, and they're like, especially if it's an international, you know, I had some people say, hey, when I did the Cincinnati thing, I asked them, hey, what's a good spot? And some people were like, hey, give me a spot to check out. But like, you know, what's one restaurant, one spot in Miami that anybody should check out? And not talking about.
I'll tell you that it's difficult to say because you don't live in Broward. Right. Yeah. So if you're going to the games, there's a good chance that you're staying close to the stadium, staying in Broward. So if you're in Miami and you want to go very traditional Cuban, because there's so many Cubans down here, Versailles is like the popular place. Ceviche 105 right is there. A good place. The tank is, and the chat's going to help us out with this. Now, if you want to go just to a very South Florida establishment that I guess it's not like an In-N-Out. It's more like a bar, but it's very South Florida. Flanagan's. Flanagan's is probably the quintessential South Florida place to go to just get a quick meal. It's like a bar type place that you go eat. I don't know if you call it a bar, but it's a restaurant / bar. That's a good spot if you want to come down and get something very South Florida-ish. But again, it depends because the stadium's in Broward, so... You know.
That's the problem. Well, is that
thing, what's one thing you guys recommend at the stadium? You guys have gone to the stadium. What's one thing?
Oh, yeah.
Now give me right, that. Yeah. Give me if that. Anybody that's
if
go,
you're at the stadium, if you're at the stadium, well, it's going to be hard. By gate one, there's an area that's a grass area where they have a bunch of food trucks. The Arepas Venezuelan food truck is awesome, and they also have a Mexican food truck. But you're from LA and Monterrey, they're not gonna want that shit.
Yeah,
so
they're not gonna
want the Venezuelan arepa food truck is awesome.
Fire.
Get you a Santa Barbara arepa.
Santa
it's a
Barbara
arepa
is
with steak and cheese, and it's amazing. That's my favorite thing.
I'm gonna tweet this out tonight or tomorrow. I'm gonna be like, here, anybody going to the game tomorrow? Get some arepas.
Yeah, and then they have one new Colombian food truck called La Lechona. And it's really good. Also, their dish is La Lechona, but if you don't get it early, it'll sell out like it did to us last time. But also very good spot. All right. Every time I see Daniel at the stadium, he's in line for food. Yes. Well, my wife likes to eat, and so we are constantly going to the stadium and eating. So for sure, eat Cuban, bro. Miami is de los cubanos, papá. I mean,
yeah,
I guess
Versailles. I mean, Versailles.
We have a lot of Colombians here too, but you know, whatever. All right. Yeah. And just real quick, my wife called me an asshole over text just now because I said she likes to eat. She wanted me to specify. I guess I'm letting the cat out of the hat real quick. My wife is pregnant right now, so that's why she likes to eat. Okay, so it's not because she's a fat ass. She is pregnant. So yes,
you also like to eat too, bitch.
I do. All right. For those of you that were unaware, at 10 o'clock, we'll be coming back on for Battered Herons en Español, and we will be having Eddie. He is our first double duty guest.
Double shift.
He'll be joining us at 10 o'clock, at 10 o'clock en Español with Solana, with La Voz Xavier, and we're going to have this show all over again en Español with a couple more voices and different opinions. And thank you for everybody. I see everybody in the chat saying congratulations. Appreciate it. I didn't want to make it public, but since my wife called me out as an asshole, I felt like I had to, or else I was going to get pow pow. All right. That's it. Eddie, for the English listeners, let everybody know where they can find you before we check out of here.
At Rayalos90, everything's spelled out. That's where you can find the Twitter account, Rayalos90.com. That one is Rayalos90.com. That's where I do all the news stuff, news articles, stuff like that. Try to pump out, you know, I'm a one-man band here. That's where all the podcast stuff is there, and you can find everything that I do there to help cover the team in English.
Awesome. And Mario is asking if he made a Superman banner with the Rayalos M, that if they'll let him hang it. If it's on the north side, you're not going to be able to hang shit, my guy. I'm sorry.
not in the supporter section, for sure. And then for those of you asking, I am putting out the link to our Spanish channel. And so if you guys want to catch the show in Espanol, go ahead and you can click on that link and join us there. It's Batter Hair on en Espanol. I thought I sent the link. I don't see it showing up. But it is tonight. It's at 10 o'clock. We'll be getting off of here and jumping straight over there. So, again, just go ahead and join us there. And we'll be joined, like I said, with a couple other friends. Chris, any final words before we head out?
That's it. It's going to be a fucking hell of a game on Wednesday, and we're about to do this shit in Espanol, my guys. Dale.
Yes, that's it. So we will catch you guys in a couple minutes on the Spanish show with Eddie. I don't know if Chris will be joining us, Solana, and La Voz. So until the next one, have a good one.